My name is Frederick Douglass Lewis. I was born in Cleveland Parish, Louisiana, at Lisbon, Louisiana, which is my present address. Holster stock, Holsey. Stop. Lisbon. Louisiana. Of course, now that's my bit about what year I was born. When I was a boy, about 12 years of age, a white man was talking to my father. As I was about to say, at the age of about 12 years, my father was talking to a white man in his yard. And he related to my father that he had to go to Lisbon to vote. He reminded my father that he couldn't vote. And I thought my father could do anything in the world anybody else could do. So that was the only thing that attracted my attention. So when the man left, I asked my dad, I said, "Papa, what do you mean by a man said you couldn't do it?" He said, "Well, son, what he meant that I can't vote. Just before the turn of the century, in the state constitutional convention, they passed a law, what they call, in other words, they put out a ticket for us to vote. Our grandfather's clause, in other words, that was the sense of vote, our grandfather's clause. So the Negro voted like that. When they knew anything, they'd vote themselves out of politics. And so it impressed me. And at that age, it never did leave me. And I vowed right then, at the age of 12, that I ever got a chance, I was going to hit this thing a blow. Well, they have what you call a poll tax law. And I remember me going to the courthouse trying to sign the poll tax book, pay that dollar to get a chance to register. I was 21 years old. I was informed that they were out of blank. At any rate, you know, in 1915, the United States Supreme Court declared our grandfather's clause unconstitutional. In 1920 or 21, in a constitutional convention, which I guess just came in the line of general election that year, they replaced the grandfather's clause with a constitutional test, which I deemed it then something yet to disfranchise the Negro or continue to disfranchise it. So, but still, our grandfather's clause has served its purpose. Well, I will have to skip up to 1934. Under the administration of Governor Okey Allen and Huey P. Long, they abolished the poll tax law. in September of that year, and it went into effect by November that same year. In the spring of spring of 1935, a Huey Long and they served notice for everybody go and sign the 1934 and 35 poll tax books and get your certificates free. So we did. I went down to the sheriff's office. I went to the sheriff's office. He let us sign the poll tax books. Then when we got through, he asked us, after he presented us our certificates, which I have now, I can prove it. He asked, what election do people expect to vote in? I said, all of the election. He asked me, did I know that this was a Democratic primary? I said, well, if I register, I intend to register as a Democrat and I'll be able to vote in all the elections. And he said, well, I tell you, anybody coming up trying to vote in the white primary is going to get the hell knocked out of them. But in the meantime, I never give up. Never did give the thing up. In the 1950s, I believe it was the 1954 Supreme Court decision on this school desegregation, something like that. Well, some state, in other words, the NAACP was inactive. Well, I mean, was active in the state. And some judge, I believe, called Lindsay, knocked out the activity of the NAACP. So we went in other names. We had Christian, United Christian Movement, and so forth and so on like that. And the Civil League, and so on like that. We still operated. Now, okay.
When did you start the Civic
League? I think the Civic League was started in the early 1950s. But the people that were sponsoring it, they held indoors. I think Mr. Grill will remember that. Sessions. They never did venture out. So I think the first scare, first something that the white people attempted to do, the first harsh saying they had about the Civil League, it blew up. So in November 1964, three or four people had a meeting, had a caucus. We decided we would revive this organization because the objective meant so much. And we couldn't find any other means to better that objective. So we decided then that we would revive. In January 1965, we did, about January 10th. They elected me their president. Although I rejected that idea of me being president of an organization large as this parish, I said that I would rather be a good father. Yet still I was drafted. So from that day, January the 10th, I've had constant conferences in Washington with the Justice Department and the Office of Economic Opportunity and so on like that. And last year, I guess, I don't know, they say I was the sole responsible for getting Head Start here. So we...
How did the Head Start program go?
It went fine. I mean, not so good either. But now, remember, they passed that bill in fall of 1964. And in January, I was in Washington seeking mean ways ways and means to get the program in here. So we started to work. And by April 28th, we had, prior to that time, we went to the school board and asked the superintendent for help. He failed to give it to us. Said he wasn't going to integrate. We asked our professional people in the parish for help. I knew I didn't have the ability to, in other words, to file applications and make out the budget and everything like that. I knew that. But what really happened was this. When they failed to do so, we called in Corps. Corps came. We had opposition. That's true. But we debated the thing so until we put the pressure on so heavy until they voted unanimously that Corps would come. So we started with Corps. Now, I don't know what other people may say, but we give Corps credit because the first lady that worked with us through this was Judith Rawlings from Massachusetts. And finally, Willie Ellis came. Now, he was a mastermind. So we got that started. Now we got Corps in here, although we got Southern Consumer to sponsor. We didn't have a sponsoring organization. Now we have a charter there, which after the police jury in this parish, Cleveland Parish, public school board, chartered their organization. And we had our charter, we challenged them. And we started a fight on Labor Day, September 1965.
What is the name of the organization that you have?
That one right there? Would you mind reading it? Give it to me, hand me that charter, then I'll read it to you. Please, ma'am. The name of our charter is Cleveland Economic and Social Opportunity Incorporated. So, they applied for a grant of $22,000 to start a survey, and they ran to our challenge. And we had a battle from that time to now, although we won. And today, I, Frederick Davis Lewis, is associate director of the Community Action Program, Cleveland Parish.
Start now?
Nope. On account of all the challenges we had from the white people, well, we don't have one, but we hope to have one by October 31st. Now, if you want to go back to some of our integration success that we had in 1965, We successfully integrated the Cleveland Parish Library.
Tell me about that.
I don't know the date, but we started testing in May last year, 1965. We were successful in integrating four places, cafeterias, such as the Majestic, Purple Cow, Steakhouse, the one or two I can't recall the name right now. I know them, I see them. But since then, they're giving us a little trouble.
Oh, what's happened?
Well, they failed to serve us. Three of us, my two brothers and myself went to the Jesse last fall. They went in there and they failed to serve until they wanted to be served. They moved it back. Day or two earlier, they had hired a lady because she knew us. Well, when she returned to work next morning, she was relieved from her job. Therefore, the successful thing that we have done for the integration is done with the public library.
Did that involve any picketing?
No. We only picket one place, that was a school board. Now, in April of 1965, we presented our grievances to the school board and the city officials and parish officials. We asked for colored policemen and administrative work. We failed to get that part, but we got policemen.
Are you satisfied with them?
Nope. We're not satisfied with them. So Monday morning, that'll be July, that'll be August 15th, 1966. We intend to hit this thing a terrible blow. We don't know what's going to happen, but we intend to hit the blow. So we could have accomplished many things probably along the integration line, but for almost a year we have been in a battle with those people up there on this anti-poverty program. See, that is why the slack is in the integration department. Now in the school, they have more curriculum-wise in the school than they ever had in Clayton Parish. And then we have token integration. We have about, four, five, six. We integrated Hainville High, Homer High. And just about sort the whole thing, you know. In other words, I think we made a great stride here in the parish after having to stop to fight this, fight those people on this program business here, see, it's anti-poverty. So I spent several days in January 1966 in Washington on this anti-poverty business, and I spent, in other words, I was a delegate to the CCAP in Washington in April. So we still have lots to do, and we're going about that now. So this is just about the size of it now, best I can give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any trouble from the white people?
Not recently. When I was in Washington, they recommended me as the director, to be the director of this program. But they knew I was going to object being that, which I didn't want. And I didn't want the assistant director. While I was there, they recommended me to be the assistant director. Oh, it came up a great howl about it, but our organization stood firm. They wouldn't do anything until the president came back to the state. And I think I was elected 100% by the board. See, we had an interim board set up. They elected me, and I think now that more and more white people begin to realize that this organization has opened up the eyes of people, even the white people are blind to the fact that they have been misinformed and everything like that. And so, actually, they seem to agree with me, with the organization, I'll say. Because I always say, I never use myself. I never be personal about anything. If it wasn't for the organization, and the federal government, we will be advancing further on that. So I'm grateful to say that we have a wonderful organization, and now we are going to go further than we have been. But after all, we won a battle. That is the I call it glorified thing about it.
Oh, yeah, do you want to say anything about the deacons?
Deacon of Defense and Justice? Oh, yes, we have the, that our chart up there, you mind? Well, otherwise, that's it. Okay. Now, the Deacon of Defense and Justice here, this is a chart. In other words, it's a chapter of Deacon Defense in Jonesboro, which is our headquarters down there. Now we stayed in March on the school board last year in August, about August the 20th, I believe. On the police, we had police escort, and they asked us for 5 deacons to help. And it's, of course, as you know, that it's a nonviolent organization, but we can get violent. What we're trying to do now is to see the other man get justice. Now, we have some cases. Now, we have something we've got to see after next week also. That one boy tried in the mail's coat there and they put him on the parish road, you see. A kind of road, you might say. So we're going to see about that Monday morning. We also have a judge. We have everything stirred up. And all those people, they're in a tense situation now. They don't know what we're going to do. So we don't tell them what we're going to do. We know one thing, well, we're doing. So we have the Deacon of Defense on the alert.
When you picketed the school board last year, was that successful?
Oh yes, it was successful. we protested against one of the principal Mayfield High.
The Negro.
That's right. And they had to let him go. Mm-hmm. That's right. We picketed the place. We had a student to do that. And then later we stayed the march on the school board. 3 or 4 or 5 of us made speeches there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we were successful, actually.
And is the new principal better?
Well, in some ways, but we have all the rest of the principals shooting one. We have one. He's a man. The principal of Hillcrest High, Athens, Louisiana. He's a real man. But all the rest of us, we have 5 more principals we intend to pressure them out of office. We'd like very much for them to start on the second this term. Next turn, and then we start picketing and demonstrating and push them out of office then. We intend to press the superintendent out. We could have had him out a long time ago. We decided we'd let him steep in his own stool a while. Any more questions?
I don't think so. Thank you very much.
You like that? Well.